Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I want to speak to you this morning about the Spirit in you. The Spirit in you. Because one of the primary things that happens when we get saved is that the Holy Spirit of God comes to take up residence within us. He begins now to live in us. He's there 24/7. He is right there with us. And so that has a wonderful impact and gives us the resources we need to do a job that we could never do. Okay? You and I, on our own, have no ability to live the Christian life. The Christian life is a supernatural life. It is not something that you and I can do on our own. It is only the power of the Holy Spirit in you, working through you, that can do it. And if you're wondering why you're having failure, why you're struggling, why you're having the difficulties you're having, part of it may well be that if you are a true believer, the Spirit is there, but you're not relying on Him. You're not trusting Him on a daily basis to do those things in you. And part of that is just to get out of the way. You know, just get out of the way and let Him work. Stop trying to do it all yourself. God can do more in a second than we can do in a lifetime. Let Him work. Let Him do His job. And He will use us. He will, you know, He will not overrule us. He will work through us, with us, but we have to be willing and desire that work of the Holy Spirit in us. Well, all right, so let's look together in chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 12. And I just want to remind you of what it said at the end of verse 9. What it told us there is that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. That is, he is not of His. So if anyone doesn't have the Holy Spirit, it means they are not a Christian at all. Okay? So understand that to start. And, you know, because here in the revival, we had several people, some of the folks from Paris, some of our folks, who had made decisions beforehand. They prayed to receive Christ somewhere back down the road. And then this week, God was doing something in their heart. They responded. And hopefully they settled that question and they got assurance of their salvation. But, you know, whatever that looks like, it's going to be a little bit different in all of us. You know, it's not precise carbon copies of you know, how God draws us and works on us and changes us in each one. It's going to be different, and that's okay. But if God's working on your heart, if there's doubt in your mind or you're not sure about your salvation, well, settle it. You know, do whatever you need to do, but settle it. Take care of that. Because that's no way to live. You know, you can live in doubt. You can live your life wondering. That's no way to live. Settle it, move on. And I know, I understand. Well, what is somebody going to think? What are they going to say? Huh? Who cares what they think? They're not the one who has to deal with that nagging question in your heart, in your mind. They're not the ones who have to struggle with that thing. So do whatever you need to do, but settle it. Well, let's look together. Chapter 8, verse 12, Romans. If you found your place, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Well, I know we won't get through all that today, but let's pray and ask God to help our understanding. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Lord Jesus coming and being our Savior, dying on that cross for us, raising again out of that tomb. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done. And now, Lord, all those of us who've come to Christ, Lord, we've experienced that firsthand because what's happened to Him has now happened in us. And so we rejoice in that this morning. We thank You for all those who were saved this week. Thank You for Travis following You a moment ago in baptism. We pray for others that You'll give them courage to step forward and to follow You and to be obedient in this. And I just thank You for them. Lord, bless them and encourage their hearts. And Lord, speak to all of us today and help us to understand how the Spirit within us is constantly at work. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, so here's what the Bible says. We are debtors. We are indebted. We owe a debt. And so, you know, I think we're all familiar with the concept. Maybe you get some reminders of those kinds of things in the mail each month or by email. And they say, you are in debt. You owe us so much money. Pay this or else. Well, we are in debt. Now, the principle that the Bible gives us about debt is that the borrower is servant to the lender. Okay, if you owe money, you are the servant of that person to whom you owe money. And another word there would be slave. They control you. You've given them control over you. Say, well, it's no big deal. I owe this, but I think it is a big deal. And and I know some debts are, you know, unavoidable, but just something to think about there. Well, when we think about this spiritually, Paul says we are indebted in this way. He says we are debtors not to the flesh. We don't have an obligation to the flesh. You know, we've lived long enough in the flesh. We've lived for ourselves, for our flesh, for what we want. We've lived that way long enough. That's part of what coming to Christ is. We're living our life. We're going through. We're doing what I'm doing it my way. I'm the captain of my fate. I'm the captain of my ship. I'm doing it. You know, I'm going. And then suddenly the Spirit of God arrests us, stops us in our tracks, helps us to understand, no, that's wrong. That's not the way. You're going the wrong direction. You're turned away from Christ. You're going away from the Lord. You're pursuing the things of your own flesh, the things of your own heart. And so we're to turn. Now, we're not just to turn. See, here's where we get in trouble. Some people, they know, okay, that's wrong. And so they go, well, you know, we need to turn all the way back to God. Okay? But we're no longer indebted to keep doing this. We don't have any obligation to keep going this way. And when you come to Christ, you're freed from that power that your flesh holds over you. You know, without Christ, the devil's working on us, the world's working on us, but we've got our own stinking flesh working on us. And we're going to have to struggle with that, but now we're no longer indebted to the flesh. We don't have to live that way anymore. All that stuff we used to do, we don't have to live that way. We don't have to be that person. That's good news, y'all. That's not bad news. Some of y'all got your funeral faces on. And I'm just looking at the back half of you here. But some of you, man, you're burying an old friend this morning or something. No, we've been given a brand new life. We turn to Christ. Now our direction is different. Our walk is different. Our desires are different. Everything has changed. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things. You know, The old has passed away. All things become new. So now we're walking toward Jesus. We're walking toward Christ. We've got that as our focus. And we're no longer indebted to the flesh. We don't have to live that way. You've been set free. Now, that's easy to say, oh, yeah, that's good. But then still live under stress and worry and anxiety and fear. Because you see, those are works of the flesh that we don't often think about. We think about lust and anger and, stealing and sexual immorality. We think about obvious sins. We think about those. But then we got some other things that we kind of let slide because, well, that's not so bad. It's not hurting. Yeah, it's hurting somebody. It's hurting you. It's hurting your walk. It's hurting your family's understanding of God because they see you struggle. Well, Christ came to set you free, and you're no longer indebted in that thing. Now, before Christ, you owed a debt you couldn't pay. And you were going to keep on paying and paying and paying and paying, and you'd end up paying for all of eternity, and you'd never pay it. But you've been freed from that. So, Paul says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We are debtors, but it's not to the flesh. To live after the flesh or according to the flesh. So your flesh is no longer to have that place, that prominence in your life. And he says, verse 13, notice, he says, for if you live after the flesh, if you live according to the flesh, if you're just filling up your flesh, if you're just doing all the stuff you want to do and getting all this, he says, you shall die. Now let's think about this for a moment. Because Paul is writing to who? Who did he address this to in verse 12? Brothers. He's speaking to Christians. Now, you may say, well, preacher, I know the wages of sin is death, but Christ took my death. He paid my price, and so I'm not going to die, right? Well, you're not going to die spiritually. That's true. But you could die physically. You know, the Bible says there is a sin unto death. There are some Christians who have died. Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When we look at that passage nearly every month and during the Lord's Supper, we see that. But he said, some among you are sickly and some sleep because you have not discerned the body, the Lord's body. You have not understood what he has done. And as a result of that, some of you are sickly and some have died. You see, if I continue, even as a Christian, here's what happens. Even as a Christian, when I get saved, that's wonderful. But if I choose at some point to disobey the Lord, and I choose to turn away from what God has specifically told me, and said, that's wrong, you shouldn't do this, and I bow up, and I'm going to do it anyway, and God's going to begin to discipline me. And every step I take, He's going to discipline me. He's going to deal with me. First, he's going to put Christians in my life. He's going to put a preacher standing up in front of me saying, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. You need to repent. You need to get right. And that's why some folks don't like to come to church. They don't want to hear it. The good part is, if at any point here I say, oh, Lord, you're right. I am wrong. And I'm sorry. At that point, if I'm truly turning from my sin, the discipline is over. God's not mad at me. God doesn't, yank away my sonship. We're good. Fellowship is restored. It's just like with your mom and dad. You know, when you've done things that you knew were wrong, and for the next few days you're kind of tiptoeing around the house hoping to avoid, any eye contact or any talking with your parents because you know they're mad. They are mad at you. They're upset. You know, you didn't do your chores. You did something. You didn't make curfew. You didn't, whatever it was. You didn't do this right. Boy, you're still their child. I mean, Lisa, nothing will ever change that. Steve-O will always be your baby. Period. No matter how bad he acts. But there are times when our fellowship is broken between us in our children. And it's the same with the Lord. I want to encourage you, when God begins to deal with you, don't harden your heart. Don't bow up. Don't get all, you know, resistant about that. Humble yourself. Say, oh God, you're right. My attitude is wrong. My heart is wrong. That was the wrong thing to say. That was the wrong thing to do. I shouldn't have been looking at that. I shouldn't have been reading this. I shouldn't have gone to that movie. Lord, I should never have gone to that place. It was wrong. I'm sorry. And Lord, I don't want to be that person. I want to be right with you. Help me. Give me strength. Give me strength to do the right thing. But you are not indebted to the flesh any longer. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to be a liar anymore. You don't have to. You don't have to be dishonest. You don't have to be deceitful anymore. You know, that may sound like a harsh thing to say, but you know what? That's where we are. There's a lot of us who we've struggled with that. Not just one or two. A lot of us. We've struggled with that. It's always been easier just to let people think this. Or let them think that. Well, there's deceit. We're not being truthful. We're not being honest. And I want to tell you, we don't have to live that way. Well, Paul says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, what that looks like is that when we disobey God, we reject His discipline. We say no to Him. No, no. The Holy Spirit keeps working and it gets more grievous. Sometimes God allows sickness to come. Sometimes God allows, you know, other things to happen. And it's a form of His discipline. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us to turn back to Himself. But ultimately, the sin unto death is when we say no to God that one last time. And He says, that's it. You're out of here. I'm taking you home. It's just like the mama at the grocery store used to. When mamas would have enough out of their screaming little brat. And they'd say, that's it. We're going home. And it was not going to be a pleasant ride, and it was not going to be pleasant for a while. And that little kid knew it. And he learned from it. And we could use some of that again. But sometimes God does that with His children. He will not allow us to continue to bring disgrace to His name. You say, well, why is it that some people who claim to be Christians, they just do anything? Not everybody who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Be careful to understand, God doesn't discipline the devil's children. He disciplines His own. Okay? Now, He convicts those who are not His to draw them to Himself to be saved. But, so, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Well, we know that word mortify, right? Is that a part of your vocabulary? You said that lately? Well, to mortify means to put to death. Okay, we have forms of that word. Mortician, right? Okay, well anyway, we have other forms of that word that's still in use. An undertaker is called a mortician. Deals with dead bodies. But Paul says, we're through the Spirit. We're to mortify, to put to death the deeds of the body. And I want you to think for a moment here about the deeds of the body, because this is really important. You know, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6, John gives us a thought here when he says this. He says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. But the word sinneth there, it doesn't mean just a single solitary sin. It means a habit, a practice of sin. And that's what's in view when Paul says this in Romans 8. He says, you do mortify the practices, the practice of sin, the habit of sin in the body. Because, look, the Bible says, if any man says he has no sin, he is a liar, liar, liar. And so we know we all have sin, even as Christians. We mess up. But if that becomes the habit, the practice, those are the things that define us. I mean, you'll find people in this world who are, they love sin. You know, You find the big Hollywood filmmaker types, and they love sin. And now they love to promote sin in their movies. They love to promote all kinds of ungodly, immoral attitudes and actions through their entertainment, so-called entertainment. But then when they get called on the carpet, as one of them has been this week, been kicked out of the Academy of Motion Pictures and all that, you know, well, suddenly they got egg on their face. They got nowhere to stand, really, because they're guilty. They've been egging this on. They've been doing this for years. And this stuff's been going on. People love sin. Well, there's pleasure in sin for a season. But I think if we could talk to Harvey this morning, he would say, you know, it's not all good. It's not all good. There's moments when sin rises up and it'll bite you. And we need to learn that. Don't think for a moment that you can sin and get away with it. I don't care who you are, lost person, saved person. Understand this, when you sin, the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So don't ever think, well, it's no big deal. Nobody knows. It's a secret. God knows. And if you're a child of God, the discipline of God's going to be in your life. And if there's no discipline in your life, you need to be asking, why is God not disciplining me for my sin? Why do I not feel bad when I do this? Because it could be you're not His child. Well, all right. So let me give you a scripture from Colossians chapter 3. And you may want to turn there because I'm going to read 5 or 6 verses. And that's General Electric Power Company. For those of you who need a little Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, but I could never remember that. So General Electric Power Company, that helps me to get the order. Anyway, all right. If it helps you, that's great. All right, chapter 3, verse 5 of Colossians. Colossians 3, 5 says, mortify, there's that word again. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And then he lists some things. He mentions fornication, which is sexual sin. Pretty much any type. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. It's just an evil desire. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But you remember what Paul said? We're no longer indebted to the flesh, right? We no longer walk in that. Verse 8. But now, as a Christian, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Well, mortify therefore your members. Put to death this stuff. We might be tempted to hold on to our sin. We might be tempted to want to, you know, I'm going to tell you. It's like taking a rattlesnake into your house. You know, and saying, oh, it's okay. I'll be all right. It won't hurt me. Nobody knows about it. Well, folks, at some point it's going to hurt you. At some point it's going to bite you. At some point, it's going to inject its poison into you. And that's exactly what sin does. It doesn't start with some great, big, huge, enormous sin. It doesn't start one day with rape. It starts with a moment as a young person when a young person is exposed to pornography. And a seed is implanted in their mind. And now they begin to look, and they begin to desire something more, and they begin to desire something more, and they're drawn, and they're drawn, and they're drawn. Until suddenly seeing it's no longer good enough, and now they want to They want to have more pleasure, and they want, but that old thing they've been doing, it no longer pleases them, and so they have to up that, and they have to increase that. And it's a gradual thing. And suddenly, before they know it, they're capable of some sin that they never thought they'd commit. And you may say, oh, but that's not us. No, we all have that capability within us. We all have the capacity for incredible evil. We do. And you have to guard your heart. Mortify, put to death the deeds of your body, of your flesh. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with your flesh, with your, you know, flesh and bones, you know, muscle and all that. It's not evil. It's not wrong. It's not bad. Okay? It's the sinful desires within us. That's what the Bible's speaking of when it talks about our flesh. Well, so do you struggle with sin, with addictions? Do you have evil habits? It could be something, you know, could be an addiction to porn or gambling or it could just be bitterness or hatred or could just be. Did you catch that? Man, it's poison. It doesn't matter what it is. And you may say, oh, it's little, it's small, it's no big deal. Listen to yourself. If that's you, listen to what you're saying. You're saying, oh, I'm big enough to handle this. I can do this on my own. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of a toddler who's gotten into the knife drawer. And you say, now give me the knife. No! My knife. I wants it. Well, oh, listen. We need to understand sin is going to entrap you. It's going to ensnare you. Well, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Back in Romans 8:13. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. But catch this one truth. It's through the Spirit. You see, people have done this. You know, they have gone to live in a monastery. You know, they've taken vows of poverty and vows of silence and all of this stuff, denying themselves and eating bread and water or, you know, whatever. Trying to suppress these evil impulses within them. And y'all, that's not the point. You know, God may call you to a 40-day fast, James, but, you know, that's not the way that you're going to get free from stuff. It's going to be through the Spirit. I want to encourage you to realize the Holy Spirit is there not to give you a warm, fuzzy feeling every now and then. He's there to change you, to transform you, to make you into that brand new creature that the Bible's already said you are. You already are new, but now He's making you new. As day by day by day, it's a slow process. There's not huge jumps of, you know, where you just grow by leaps and bounds typically, but there is progress, and it's going to continue. It's going to keep on. Well, let me give you one more thought here and we're done. He says here in verse 14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And so here's one of the ways that you're going to know you are a Christian. Because that's a very important question. How do I know that I'm a Christian? Prayed a prayer. I walked the aisle. I was baptized. I did this. I did that. I did everything they told me. How do I know if I'm truly saved, if I'm truly born again? Well, here's one part of this thing. One part of it is that you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. That is, the Holy Spirit within you is not going to be this passive force that does not act. He's going to be speaking to you. He's going to be nudging you. He's going to be saying, do this. Go here. Say this. Serve in this job. Do this. You know, He's going to be guiding you. He's going to be saying, don't go here. Don't go here. I mean, literally, He is going to be keeping you from doing the things that you shouldn't do. Helping you to do the things you should do. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit is not some killjoy. He is there to help you live life to the fullest and to enjoy it to the max. I mean, just to have the fullest, richest, sweetest, best life you can have. And some of you understand that. But it's only when you're, you know, it's sort of like when you go to eat at someone's house and you know, they say, "Do you want some dessert?" You know, and sure. And, you know, and they're putting a little bit on your plate, you know, like they can't afford to do more than just a spoonful or something, you know, and you're looking at it like, is this it? Is this all there is? And that's the way some Christians live their life. It's just little by little. When God wants to just pour into us. God wants to break through and just do great things. And we're all bound up and we're all bent out of shape about some little bitty thing that doesn't even amount to anything. And we need to let loose of all that stuff. And we need to begin to trust the Spirit that is within us to do His good work. To change us, to grow us. Some of you, if I ask you, you would say, "Yes, I want to grow." But then we're like that little kid in the high chair. And Daddy's going, "Here comes the peas. It's the pea train coming. Open wide," you know. And then they turn away. Okay, some of you never fed little children. I mean, and or then they'll get a mouthful of it, and you go, "Wow, that's great!" And they go all over you and everything in the whole kitchen. And but sometimes we're like that little kid in the high chair, and God's saying, "Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it." That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And some of us, "No, I don't like that. I don't want that. Just give me some chips. Chips and Kool-Aid. That's all I want." Well, spiritually, that's the way some of us are. We want to get by on pop psychology and get our theology from the movies. And we don't want to get in the Word of God. We don't want to have a deep relationship with the Lord. But you can. You can have a wonderful relationship with God that changes you. It changes your life. Or you can just keep doing what you've been doing. It's your choice. God doesn't force this on you, but He gives you this. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And you're going to know if the Spirit is leading you. Sometimes the Spirit's going to put you in places or positions or jobs that you're going to be thinking, "What am I doing here?" Remember when I went to seminary and they said, "You got to sign up for a practical ministry." And in seminary, at Mid-America, and other seminaries aren't like this. That's one of the reasons I went there. They require you to witness. I mean, it's a part of your, you know, it's just as much a part of getting a degree as your academic, your studies, turning in papers and going to class and whatnot. You have to witness to an average of one person a week in a genuine attempt to lead them to Christ. And so they say you need a practical mission, and that's designed to help students get those opportunities to witness. And so my practical mission that I ended up signing for, I tried street preaching, and I don't know, I just didn't really feel it. I hadn't met Brother Ronnie at that point, so maybe if I had, maybe that would have been better. But anyway, I signed up for the Shelby County Penal Farm. Okay? It's a prison. Used to be a farm. Used to be a big, huge farm. And they produced livestock and fruits and vegetables, and they were, you know, people came from all over to buy that good stuff. And they grew their own food there. And then some liberal idiot said, "They shouldn't have to work. They shouldn't have to be doing this stuff." And so as a result, they're eating bologna sandwiches and artificial eggs, you know, and whatnot every day. Anyway, so Shelby County Penal Farm. This is where I'm supposed to go. So the first time I go there, I'm like, man, I've never been to prison before. You know, what's this going to be like? And you go into this chapel, and they bring the inmates in, and we'd have a service. We'd preach. Somebody would preach. One of us would preach, and we'd sing. And I'll tell you honestly, those guys, it wasn't a real good sound, okay, in the singing. It just wasn't. They weren't great singers. But now they had some good musicians in prison. They really did. And so we'd have somebody up there just tearing the organ up. But, you know, most of those guys couldn't sing a lick. But we'd have service, and then we'd break into small groups, and we'd share the gospel with groups of men all over the room. And it wasn't uncommon to see two or three or four or five guys pray to receive Christ in a night. And, you know, wasn't that unusual. Well, it was a challenge, though, because, man, that was totally outside my comfort zone. I don't mean just slightly. I mean completely. That was not me. Had no experience with that. Had never done that. The Spirit of God will put you in places where you think, what am I doing here? How do I do this? Well, I think Garland said this morning. The Spirit of God, He won't lead you into something that He's not going to equip you to do. So, I think the important thing for us is to learn. When the Spirit of God places His finger on something in our life and says, this is not pleasing, this is not good, this is not helpful, this won't help you get where you're going, this is harmful. It may be a relationship. It may be, you know, that attitude thing. It may, you know, could be a lot of things. But when the Spirit of God places His finger on that and says, you need to change your direction here, that's an indication of being led by the Spirit. He's guiding you. He's trying to protect you from something that will hurt you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you can say, oh, I'm a Christian. All day long. You can get you a bumper sticker. You can get you a t-shirt. You can get you, you know, you can tattoo it on your forehead. I know a guy will do it for you. That doesn't make you a Christian. But those who are led by the Spirit of God, that's what helps us to understand. Okay, yeah, I truly am a Christian. Not perfect. I mess up all the time. But yes, the Spirit of God is there. He's leading me. Amen. Well, this morning, as we close, we're going to receive in a moment the Lord's Supper. And we're going to remember what Jesus did for us at the cross so that the Spirit of God could come to indwell us, so that we could have a new life. We could be changed, set free, so that we could no longer be in debt to the flesh. But instead, we're indebted to now the Spirit. Now we owe the Lord the debt of our life. Now we want to give Him everything. Well, in this moment, I want to encourage you to be absolutely honest with Him. You don't have to confess anything to me. You go to the Lord. If there's something in your heart that isn't right, deal with it. Settle it. I mean, you may just say, oh, preacher, I hear this every week. Yeah, but you don't understand. What I said when Paul said some of the church at Corinth was sickly and some had actually died, it was related to the Lord's Supper. I want to encourage you to take it seriously and search your heart. Say, oh, God, if there's anything in me that I need to turn loose of, confess to you, help me to do it. And if there's anybody here, say, you know, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. Or, I know I'm not a Christian. And I need to get that settled. I need to get that right. And I'm going to give you this opportunity to do just that. Let's bow our heads together.